morning. Good to see you. No, it's great to be here again. It's always good to come and meet up with friends that we've known for many, many years. It's always brilliant. So, again, thank you for the invite, for asking me to come to preach this morning, and pray that what I'm going to bring us will, you know, will touch us, challenge us, will above all glorify the name of Jesus. That is what we want more than anything, isn't it, this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you like to turn to Exodus 33, please? Exodus 33. And we're looking from verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Exodus 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance from calling in the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out of the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. And as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing in at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance but to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and have found favor with you. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, did not send us up from here, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Lovely piece of scripture here. You may know it very well, I don't know, but I'm hoping that there's some good things that have come out of this. It's going to touch us and bless us in some way this morning. But the bit I do like more than... I like it all, but the bit I do like, it says that the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks. He said the Lord would speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. For a lot of people today, people say, God's not alive. He's not alive. If he was alive, he's died. If he is alive, he doesn't speak because he doesn't communicate with people. He's that sort of God. But I hope that this morning we each one believes that our God is alive and he speaks to us. And it's the way we live our lives where we let him speak and in the way he wants to speak to us. So our God this morning is a God who speaks to us. And as we go through this, I hope this is going to touch us and challenge us, because you know, when was the last time you felt God has spoken to you as an individual, as a fellowship? How God has spoken to us as a nation. And, you know, we can look at this and we can think, well, a lot of this is not just relying on God, but it's what we do. How do we live our lives? And it's just so important. So it says that God could speak, but why would God speak to Moses? What was special about Moses that God would want to speak to him? Well, I think there's a number of reasons. And I think to start with that, Moses was a man of prayer. We know that as we go through these Old Testament scriptures, that we know that Moses loved God, and we know that he would be praying to God. He would be seeking God. He was very much a man of prayer. There was a closeness in that relationship between God and Moses, a real relationship. And there was that intimacy that he had with God. And I just love that, that a man, a person, a woman, anybody can have intimacy with God. Because we don't think of him just a God that's out there somewhere, but he's a God that's here, that's in here, that we can have intimacy, we can have closeness with our God. It's the way we go about life, the things that we do, where we give him chance to be able to speak to us. Because Moses shared with God. He was a friend of God. I think, you know, this whole intimacy, as we think about that, you know, it's good to think about that, what God is like. And of course, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. What he was like with Moses, he can be like today, now, you and me, tomorrow, and this coming week. You know, this is the God that we have. You know, we are so blessed. We are so encouraged that this is our God. So he shared with God, he was a friend of God. So does God speak to us? Does he speak to you as an individual in your life? Does he speak to this fellowship, the way forward, what God is saying to you here, what he wants to do in this place? And as a nation, oh, don't we want to see our nation touched by God? Oh, our nation is falling apart, isn't it? You know, we can blame this person, this party, that party. We can blame anybody and everything, can't we? But it's where are we? Are we letting God, or giving God the opportunity to speak to us? And my prayer is on Sundays, you know, when I pray with Jan in the morning, I thank you for that, saying that, my bride, that was brilliant. You know, bride of 51 years, that's brilliant. I thought it was fantastic. You know, I don't think of her as a bride. in the nicest way, I think. You know. But you know, on Sunday mornings, one of my prayers is always, God, speak to our nation today. Because we know that God's word is being proclaimed in churches and chapels, cathedrals, open-air meetings, and also through the witness of Christians. Today, many people in our land will hear about Jesus. But, you know, but my prayer is, Lord, don't just speak, but may not they just not they, they just hear, but they receive Jesus, that they come to know Jesus as their own Lord and Saviour. Oh, if only people come to back to faith, if only this country could turn back to God, wouldn't we be a different country to what we are now? We would be so different. But we just, so let's be a people that pray for our nation. Because Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was personal. As we go through the New Testament, through the Gospels, we know God was there. He was with people. He loved people. He blessed, encouraged, healed, and done so many things, didn't he? Again, you know, but that same God, what he done, Jesus, when he was on this earth 2,000 years ago, can still do the same today that what he did 2,000 years ago. So often as Christians, we can think, oh, you know, yeah, God done all that all those years ago. What he done then, he can do now. And it's up to us whether we let him do that. You know, he hasn't changed. He just wants to do things in this country and right throughout our world today. You know, we just need to make Jesus known because we have such an amazing God. So verse 13, Moses said, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, he says. Teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Teach me your ways. So do we not want to know that as well? When was the last time we perhaps prayed, Lord, show me what you want. Teach me what you want to do in my life. You know, we can say, well, I'm only one individual. I'm nothing very special. I hate that when I hear Christians say that. I feel like smacking on one. In love, of course, always in love. But, you know, because we are special. We can look at each other or we can look at ourselves and say, well, I'm nothing. What can God do in my life? You know, Moses was one man. But what did he do through that one man? He done amazing things, miracles, fantastic things happened because of one man. And it's like with us, one man, one woman, women, that we are here this morning. God can do amazing things. So we are something special because the cross of Calvary, that cross tells us that we are special because Jesus died on that cross because he loves us so much. That makes us special. He shed his blood. His body was broken. So we are special. We are precious. We are something because of what he has done. Nothing about us. It's all about him, isn't it? You know, he's the one. He's the one that's done it all. So we are special. So how can God, touch us and help us to be his witnesses and to do the things that he is calling us to do? Well, to start with, we need to be a praying people. We need, you know, prayer, I know, can be so, so difficult, can't it? Things, you know, so much is going on in our own lives, throughout our world, and we can start thinking about other things. And so when we come to prayer, our minds can drift and we can, you know, I know I'm no different from anybody, you know, and it can be so difficult, but we need to be a people of prayer. There is power in prayer. Do you know that? Do you realize? Do you believe it even? Or is it do when we pray and thought, and I've said this before, we pray about something, well, that's going to change, is it? You know, terrible, you know, we can all say it, but it can change. Because there is power in prayer. We can go through the whole of the Bible and seeing God touching and blessing and doing amazing things through the power of prayer. And the one thing that always sticks out with me is when Peter was in prison, if you remember that in Acts 13, I believe, or around that somewhere, Peter was in prison and it said that the church was praying for Peter. And it said that there was, you know, they came together and they was praying. And there was Peter. He was in the deepest of dungeons. He was manicured. He had things on his hands and legs, and he couldn't move. Guards all around him. There was no way that he was going to move. But what happened? It said that the church was praying. And I forget the exact word, but it was talking about a prayer that went, you know, it was just, oh, it was going to, it's going to happen. It's going to work. There was that real power of prayer. And all of a sudden, what happened? An angel came into the presence with Peter. Things started falling off his hands and his ankles, and then all of a sudden the guards and that all started to sleep. But of course, these were trained soldiers. They just wouldn't do that. They would not do that. And if they did fall asleep, you know, they could lose their lives. But they just fell asleep. A massive great door opened, you know, and so he could come out and he could walk out totally free again. And then he went to, of course, the people where it was all happening, where the prayer was. And this young girl came along, didn't she? Opened up the door and Peter said, you know, let me in sort of thing. And he couldn't believe it and went and told people about it. Oh, it must be his ghost, they were saying. Oh, come on. These people's praying this prayer of absolute faith. Absolute faith. And then when it happened, they didn't believe it. Are we not like them sometimes? Yeah, I am. I must be honest. We can be like that. But, you know, but there is that power in prayer. We can see mighty things happening in our own lives, in our families' lives, in the lives of many people. Because our God is the God of the impossible. There's nothing he can't do. He can do anything he wants. And he wants to use us. We are his people. And God can do an amazing things in and through us. We need to believe that, folks, that there is power in prayer. So when we pray for it, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It is amazing. You know, we forget that. You know, but we've got to be a people of prayer. And it can be difficult. Sometimes, where do I get the time? Blah, blah, blah. We can make up all the excuses in the world. But if a game of football's on the television, I can easily find time to watch that. No problem, you know. I must be honest. You know, we've got to be, you know, there is time. We've got 24 hours in any one day. We can be spending that time in prayer and just doing God's business. So let's be that people of prayer. Let's be a people who read this. You know, what's this? You know, our Bibles. You know, is it a book that just, gets red occasionally, stuck on a shelf, collecting dust. I'm not trying to show off here, but this Bible's had to be completely redone. This used to be brown, and it completely fell apart a few years ago, and I managed to get it, found a place where they completely redone it again. Although inside it's getting tatty, but the outside looks better now anyway. It doesn't fall apart. But, you know, over many years, because I use it every day, it's been red. And, you know, it doesn't just gather dust on a shelf. You know, we need to get into this book, because this is a book of life. Everything that we want to know is in this book. And it's no good just leaving it on a shelf. It's good reading other books. It's good reading so many wonderful books around. And of course, Kindle is the thing these days, isn't it? I mean, I'm not into this, you know, all this newfangled stuff, but I mean, my daughter's got Kindle on her machiney thing, and, you know, and she, what, you know. But, you know, I still got the old-fashioned book, but whatever it is, well, however we read it, that we read it, that's what counts. And God can, and he will lead us. He will guide us. He will direct us in the things that he wants us to do. And it's not by chance that we read something, we think, oh, I read about that. Oh, that's just what I was praying about. That was a bit of luck. It's nothing is luck with God. It is not luck. God instance, whatever words you want to use, it's all to do with God. God leading us and guiding us in that. So let's be a people who pray. Let's be a people that read our word. And let's be a people that ask God. I mean, that's another thing. You know, how often do we ask God, Lord, lead me. Show me what you're saying to me. What do you want me to do as an individual in the church, in my life? What are you doing? What do you want me to do, Lord? Let's be a people that gets before God, seek him, saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? And then, of course, it's very easy to say that prayer, and then we put our fingers in our ears and we don't give God a chance to talk. Because, as we read a little bit earlier, God speaks. He speaks to each one of us. If we pray that prayer, Lord, lead me, touch me, guide me, whatever it is, if we are open in our prayer, in reading the Bible, and again, other people sometimes get the answers to our prayers as well. You know, there's wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit where God can speak to us and can touch us and show us the way forward. You know, just again, you know, with your fellowship, you know, it's good to have people that you could trust, you can get with, you can pray with, and say, what do you think? You know, would you pray with me on this situation or that subject or whatever? And then let God speak to us and touch us through other people. We can all be a blessing to each other. Because, you know, our church is such an amazing place. We're all different, come from different backgrounds, we all believe in different things, do different things, whatever it is. But we're here together as one. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus. And God wants to use us as a family to touch and to bless other people within the fellowship, within our families, with our homes, and wherever we go about our daily business. So let us be that sort of people. And then verse 17, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Isn't that amazing? What, 8 billion people, I think, on this planet now, isn't it? I think the latest estimate is, give or take a few, 8 billion people. But God knows each and every one of us. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows everything and anything about us. Isn't it brilliant that our God is such a personal God? He knows us by name. And so God knew Moses by name, and he also knows us by name. And we think of that story when the day of resurrection, when Jesus rose and Mary was in that garden, wasn't she? And all of a sudden he saw her and he just said, Mary. That one word, her name. He just done the most amazing thing. He just had died on the cross of Calvary. And then he rose again. And with all what was going on, he still knew Mary by name. And like us, things have changed. I mean, in the old days, if you remember, when you got a bill before you get one line and all this stuff, you used to get a bill through the post, didn't you? You would open it up, and it might have your name and address at the top, but mainly it had lots of different numbers and different things, and you was known by a number. You really wasn't known as a person. If you rang up a particular company, you said who you was. You know, this sort of stuff. They wouldn't know. But you was just a number. But we are not just a number with God. We are very special. And I'm sure you know that verse in Isaiah 43 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." That's who we are in Christ. Excited? Yeah, good, good. Yeah, no, let's be excited, because he knows us individually by name. 6, 8 billion people around the world today, and God knows each one. And he doesn't say, "Well, I know you, and just get on with it, do this and do that, whatever." You know, God knows us so much. We are so special. And again, it came up this week. Now, I mean, I know a number of some of you know, and particularly Pat, I know. God knows us so much that when he calls us to do something, he provides us with that thing, what he wants us to do, whatever it is he wants us to do. He won't say, "Well, this is what I want you to do, get on with it." He will give us the resources, the tools to do what he wants us to do. And only this coming week, it brought back to my mind again when Pat and a number of us went down to Maidstone Prison as prison visitors. Again, I didn't have a car. I know I told you again, but I want to tell you again because it's so exciting. But, you know, all of a sudden I was going down with the folk, some from here and other places, and I just wanted to go down on my own. And I was at Red Hill Baptist at the time, and I said to one Sunday, I had a little 5-minute splot, and said, "Look, I want to go down to Mason, but I haven't got a car. Can somebody lend me a car?" End of the service, six people come up to me and said, "Yep, here's my car. You can borrow it anytime you like." The following week, they come back. Three of them come back and said, "I've even taken out an insurance for you." So all I had was just a bike, so I couldn't get down to Mason on a bike, you know. So we goes away on holiday, comes back, on the floor, envelope with 300 quid in it. It says, "You may be needing this money shortly." Oh, that's nice. What are we going to do with that? New carpet, new fridge, whatever, you know. Anyway, cut a long story short, had a phone call from a garage on the industrial estate. "Come and pick your car up." No, we don't have a car. We haven't ordered one. "No, come on. No, it's there for you." Go in there. A brand spanking new car. Done 3 miles. 3 miles. And with it came £300 worth of petrol tokens. So we can only assume that the person who gave put the £300 in an envelope for our door was the same people. And that paid for an insurance. So we had a complete brand new car, a whole year of free motoring. Bit of luck, wasn't it? You know, just prayed about it. It just happened by luck. No, we don't. Went back to write a Red Hill Baptist the following week and said, "Someone's done this." Nobody would own up to this day. We still don't know at this moment whoever bought that car for us. But in those days, it would have been, 6,000 plus, something like that, that car would have done. And all that went with it. And it just changed my life, our lives as a family. But, you know, God said, "Barry, you're special. You're precious. I love you. I've got a job for you to do." He didn't say, "Right, get on with it. Get on with it." No, he provided. It wasn't just a second-hand car. It was brand spanking new. And as I keep on saying jokingly, but there was no radio in it, for goodness sake. You'd have a radio in it, wouldn't you, in those days? You know? But God was so good. He blessed us in so many ways. That's our God. That's how special we are. That's how precious we are. That's how he knows us by name. You know, when he looks at us, we are motley crew. You know, you know what I mean. We're all different. I'm trying to be very diplomatic here, but we are all special. We've all been created by God. You know, we've all been created by our great God. Isn't that fantastic? Some days you get lost for words, don't you? Some of these songs we were singing. I find out whenever I come here, I never know any of your songs. I don't know why. You never sing what I sing, but it doesn't matter. It's good. Good song, lovely wording, you know, how special and precious they are. So that's our God. Let's be a people that know that our God is there for us. He will always bless us. He will always give us what we want. Not that what we want or what our needs are, but, you know, he will be there for us. And he knows what our needs are. And he provides, because our God is the God of the infinite. He's got everything under his hands. He holds everything in his hands. He's got everything, doesn't he? And that's what he's got. And he wants to share it with us, his people. So good. Doesn't have to, but he does. Because he loves us. loves us so much. Oh, amazing. Isn't it wonderful? Wow, wow. This is exciting, isn't it? Anyway, yes, I'm sorry about that. I do get excited about that, you know. Anyway, and then Moses then says, verse 18, and then he said, now show me your glory. He wanted to know the glory of God. I always find that a bit of a cheek. You know, you're just an old, just a man. You're saying to God, show me your glory. But he was bold. He loved God. He wanted to know God's glory. He wanted to be with God, walk with God. And he was happy to say that to God. And then God, again, then we read those last few bits. But then I wanted, then there's some other bits I wanted to share with, a number of things. So really to a point, what, you know, what is God's glory? You know, we've got to be careful there because, you know, he said if people saw God's face, they was going to die. But so how does God show his glory to his people? How does he show that to us? And at the back of my Bible, I've got this bit here, and there's some things I just want to read out to us. What it says in Exodus, it says, to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. There's that fire on top of the mountain. And the glory of God was in that there. That's what they could see. And then in another part of Exodus it says, and then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You know, the glory of God, when people was meeting together, the glory of God was there. It came into their presence. And then 1 Kings it says, and the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests couldn't do what they wanted to do because the glory of God sort of overcome them. They were just gobsmacked. They just couldn't make it out. And all of a sudden, the glory of God was there in their presence. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Wow. You know, have you looked up in the clouds? I've looked at night time. I don't know. I mean, I'm not into, let's get it right, astrology, not astrology, astronomy, that's the one, looking at the stars. And you look at some nights, you know, some of the skies, you know, the things that are up there. And not so long ago, we had the comet Hale-Bopp, remember Hale-Bopp? Many, that's quite, probably you've probably forgotten that by now, you know, as we get older. But it was it was millions of billions of miles away, but you could see this little white streak going through the night sky. And, you know, it's just amazing. And can I just encourage you, if you're interested in seeing, you know, seeing what's out there, you know, what is out there didn't happen by chance. Didn't happen by chance and said, oh, look at all these lovely stars and planets and goodness knows what. Who put them there? Who put them there? God. Thank you, God. Didn't happen by chance. You know, we can look at 1-2 Genesis and say, oh, well, science says that's rubbish. No. I believe what this book says. Not what scientists, not what a man says, not what people says, whose God's actually already created in the first place. The Bible says that God put everything out there. And I've got an app on my phone and on my tablet. Yeah, I'm quite with it, you know, tablet and a phone. Yeah. Not bad at 76, am I? Yeah, okay. And there's an app you can get called NASA, just called NASA. You know, NASA in America? Yeah, there. And every day they send pictures. Oh, amazing. Get it if you can get it. The bigger you can get it, the better the pictures. And every day you've got Hubble spacecraft, and there's this other one now, this James Webb, I think it is, which is even better, stronger. And some of the pictures that you see are coming from billions of miles. Oh, I mean, numbers just go over you. You know, you can't take it in. Look at those pictures every day. And every time I see that, it strengthens my faith. Today, I got another one again today. Oh, you know, it just took my breath away. And, you know, if you get it, just, you know, even I can do it. You know, just go into the app store or, you know, provider. You know what I mean? Thank you. and just put on there NASA and then download it and you get it. And every day you get perhaps 2-3 times the pictures. And you see that. Then tell me that God didn't put that there, that you can't see the glory of God. Because if you say that, then, well, be careful what I've got to say here. But, you know, it's got to be harder to say that happened by chance, by luck. No, it happened because God put it there. And we see the glory of God in all his majesty in everything that he is. Oh, get that app. It's so good. It's so inspiring. Every day you'll get something on there. And then it said, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There was Stephen just about to die. He looked up. He saw the glory of God. Well, wasn't he lucky? Not the right word to use, obviously, lucky. But and then what, within a matter of minutes, he was in God's presence. He was there with God himself. That was, you know, what an amazing man that he could see that. And now the last one on this is, you love this one. It's a challenge. It's an absolute challenge. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we, you and me, who are unveiled, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. We reflect the Lord's glory. That's good, isn't it? Some Christians are some of the most miserable people I've ever met. I'm not talking about here, but there's some people, some Christians I've seen, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy? They don't know what the word means. But, you know, and I'm not saying we've got to go around with a sickly smile. I don't mean that at all. But our faces, if we love Jesus, he's in us through his Holy Spirit. We reflect the glory of God. So when we leave here today, when we go to work tomorrow, where we go, whatever we do, when people see us, they see God. But some people might think, well, if that's God, if that's what God looks like through his people, don't have anything to do with them. So, you know, so again, you see where I'm coming from. We don't be silly about it, but, you know, but how we act, when people see us, what do they see? You know, because we can become so miserable. We can become part of the world. You know, people see us and they think, they're no different from anybody else. May it be that folks, I implore that, you know, that each one of us that, you know, yes, we're all going through struggles. Now, as I talk, you know, Jan, poor old Jan, her husband, me, that's not me, her brother is in East Surrey Hospital. He's had 3 falls in this past week, and it took him in three times the ambulance had been out, and we went and visited him yesterday, and he didn't look good. Didn't recognise us hardly. He did say, oh, that's his sister and husband, and he can't hardly speak much. He does not look good, and poor old Jan, you know, she's in lots of tears, and it's difficult. So, yeah, in times like that, we don't always want to go around with big, happy, smiley faces. It's difficult. But at the same time, she knows that John is the Lord's. So if he should take him, that he goes to glory. Don't think it's that. It's not quite that, we don't think. But, you know, it's a changing thing that he's got to go through, and, you know, different lifestyle and whatever. So, yes, we can't always be that sort of people. When, you know, we go through struggles and problems and strife and all this stuff. But overall, when people see us, let them think, oh, there's Barry, Jan, or whatever your name is, or whatever it is. That when people see us, they want to see us. You know, they think that person is a nice person, you know, encouraging person, a person that blesses, person that touches, and things like that. You know, may you that when people see us, that people will see the glory of God. I think that's a brilliant, I just think that's so good that we are God's people and he wants to use us, little old us, who we can so often say, well, I'm nothing, who I said earlier, we are something, we are special, we are precious, because Jesus died for us, that's why we're special and precious. You know, I mean, people see us, you know, people see something absolutely amazing in our lives. So again, as we come to the end now, it said, then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in that cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, my face you must not see. So again, we can't see that God's glory in that sense, because if you did, you died. But we can see the glory of God through Jesus, our wonderful Saviour, Jesus. And only be, what, a couple of months, or just over a couple of months, and Easter. Christmas is gone. Easter's on its way. Easter eggs are out in the shops. So when people, we can show people the glory of God through Jesus. You know, when he was on this earth, the sort of person that he was. May it be that us, that you, me, that as God's disciples, as his people, as his followers, that we point people to the Saviour. Because if we don't point it, where are they going to hear about the Lord? You know, they're not going to hear it. You know, it's okay. Yes, it's good that there's lots of Christian stuff on the television and radio now. That's good, of course. Nothing wrong with that at all. But so often it's the way we live, it's the way we act, and it's the things that we do that bring people to Jesus. If it wasn't for Jan, I wouldn't be here today. You would say, thank goodness for that. Well, you know, or she wasn't. But it was because of Jan, because of her faith. And me seeing her walking to work one day with a very short skirt on. Well, not very short. And so I thought, oh, she's a bit of all right. And I started to fancy her sort of thing. Went out and asked her for a date. And then she said to me, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, no. It's all I want is a Bible basher. And that is the very words I used. That is the words I used. Because my religion was football. But I met Jan. Through meeting her, seeing her family, eventually I became a Christian. And then from then, things have progressed and lots of things have happened in my life because of Jan. Little old Jan, my bride of 51 years. You know, and I'm so, God is so good that he can use somebody who when he was at school, I was in the D stream at Reigate Priory. I left school with not one exam, nothing. I had nothing to my name at all. Absolutely nothing. But then I can look back on my life, not saying look at how good I am, but it's because of God. Because of what he's done, helped me to do. I could never stand up in front of people. But I'm now preaching pretty much most week, well, not every week, but quite a few weeks in the course of a year. Standing up, doing things, leading funerals and things like that, doing lots of stuff. You know, it has nothing to do with me, but because of what God is doing in and through me. And what he's doing in and through me, he can do through each one of us. Can't say, I'm too old, I'm too ill, I can't do this, I can't do that. God can do anything he wants through us. It's just a matter of what we say. We can either say, God, well, no, it's not really me this week. Or we can put our hands out and say, Lord, do what you like with me. Use me today, tomorrow, this coming week, whatever it is you want to do. Yeah, there's certain things that some of us can't do, you know, because of illness or disabilities or whatever. Obviously, that's right. But God can still use each one of us in some way. And whatever he does in and through us, whatever he says, whatever he does, the way he leads us, I believe everything that we do, it's to his praise and it's to his glory. Is that what we want more than anything? Is to see our wonderful Saviour have all the praise, all the glory, and all the honour. May it be for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.